Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet, go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I am your host, TP3, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I am joined, as always, by Ben Gorwitz on this fine Thursday, January 25th, 2024. Ben, how are we doing today, man?
Doing all right. Good thing, I guess, for us is the Falcons just made some news before we hit record.
Yeah, I'd say we definitely lucked out in that department, Ben. The Atlanta Falcons have officially named their head coach as Raheem Morris. Can't lie, there's a lot of disappointment on my side. I'm sure Ben has similar feelings to me, as most other Falcons fans. Ben, take us away. How do you feel about this head coaching hire?
It has little to do with the fact that whether I think he can win in Atlanta or not, and it has everything to do with how incompetent that Arthur Blank and Rich McKay proved to be. And as more reporting, goes into the situation, how they were doing their interview process, it totally sounds like that Arthur Blank, as the owner, is a puppet, and his puppet master is Rich McKay. Let's rewind the tape to the early 2000s when Rich McKay came to Atlanta. He was a front office role, and he was literally fired for not being good at his job. That's the reasoning was, the Falcons don't believe that you are doing as good of a job at the position you hold. He was then rehired years later because Arthur Blank liked him so much, which is fine. You can like the people you do business with. He then hires him as CEO. I mean, obviously the team's had a couple of good years under him. I think it's more thanks to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones than the people in the front office. But we're doing interview. Some of our interviews that they were doing, the general manager is not even a part of them. Now, he always was for every round two interview, but it's like, why is the CEO and owner the only two? Like, the GM, it should be the GM's job to hire a coach. It should be the GM and the owner. Like, I get it. You have to get finance stuff approved by the CEO, but like, I want my GM to do the interviewing. Whatever. They hired Raheem Morris. The name should sound familiar, Falcons fans, because he was the defensive coordinator not that long ago under Dan Quinn. And when Dan Quinn got fired mid-season or mid-late season, we had, I think, 3 or 4 games with Raheem Morris as the coach. If Arthur Blank liked him so much, then he could have just made or removed the interim tag and just hired him full-time. He doesn't. Part of that reason is because he has a losing record, probably. The record of him as a head coach, 21 and 38 as the head coach, 17 and 31 when he coached the Bucks, and 4 and 7 with the Falcons as the interim coach. He didn't do a good enough job to just remove the intern tag. But 3 years later, apparently Arthur Blank's like, he's ready. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculously run organization. They should not be taken seriously by any fans. It's a joke. Now, I'm not saying like if he turns around this franchise and starts winning in consecutive seasons, I will come on here and I will apologize. But it's a joke of a hire. They interviewed 15 total people. So they interviewed Raheem twice. That's now 13 people they hired. Why do you have to interview 13 people just to go hire the guy you already know? You already coached him. You already interviewed him. You already hired him.
Yeah, Ben, I mean, I'm right here with you, man. I don't understand what we're doing, to be honest with you. Like, as a Falcons fan, you know, it's tough, man. Like, we lost in the Super Bowl 28-3. Yeah, we've heard that story a million times. It just feels like we keep losing game after game after game after game, and it feels like it's never ending. Like, we can't get a quarterback in here ever since we lost Matt Ryan. I highly doubt that whoever we're going to bring in here next as our quarterback is going to be able to get it done. And I mean, look, we may be wrong. Maybe Raheem Morris does end up being a good coach. I'm trying to be a little level-headed here because, quite frankly, guys, I don't understand what we're doing. I personally think the route to go here is we should be trying to bring in that young. Like, we have to have confidence that our general manager and that our just the Rich McKay, Terry Fondo, these guys, Arthur Blank, that they can pick the young stud offensive coordinator who's going to be our Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan. We have to be confident that we have that guy there to make the decision. And quite frankly, they shouldn't even be employed by the team if they don't think they can make that decision. You look at the best teams in the league, these teams have that guy. Andy Reid's an older version of these young guys, you know? Like, yeah, that's what Andy Reid is. He's an older version of these young guys. I mean, Harbaugh is obviously different. I mean, maybe it can work out. I guess we have to trust what they did, Ben. But overall, regardless of what we do, hopefully he brings over someone from the McVay tree to call plays. Odds are that guy's probably going to, if he does well with us, we'll get plucked and we'll lose him. To be honest with you, Ben, I think at this point with the Falcons, with what we've done, we just have to roll the dice here, go all in on a Justin Fields or Michael Penix to be our next quarterback. If they suck, we suck. Hopefully we can go 0-17 and get the number one overall pick. If they're good, then maybe we can win a Super Bowl. But I got news for y'all. I don't think we're winning a Super Bowl with Justin Fields or Michael Penix as our quarterback. So, I mean, it just feels like we're stuck in limbo. I don't think we can get out of the divisional round at best case. And worst case, I think we're going to win like six games because that's just what the Falcons do. They can never be the worst team in the league.
Let's go through the head coaches that are defensive minded that also call plays, because I'm assuming Raheem Morris, coming from a defensive coordinator, he's probably going to call his own plays. Buffalo, McDermott took it over pretty recently. I would say he's a good coach. Not obviously hasn't gotten Buffalo over the top, but he's a good coach. Miami, no. Jets, I don't think he calls the plays. Again, not a good coach either. Patriots, Bill Belichick, it just got fired. Ravens, no. Browns, no. Steelers, no. Bengals, no. Texans, I would say so far, defensive minded coach who calls his own plays is successful. We got two examples. We have two I would call winners. Jacksonville, no. Colts, no. Titans, Vrabel, no. Chiefs, no. Raiders, Antonio Pierce does not call plays. Denver, no. Chargers, Staley was a joke. NFC now. Dallas, no. Philly, no. Giants, no. Commanders did. No, I think Del Rio is the DC. Green Bay, Detroit, no. Does Minnesota, does their coach, does he call
He
plays?
does. He
Is he
does.
an offensive guy or defensive guy?
Yeah. It's Kevin O'Connell. He was the offensive coordinator from the Rams. He
Okay.
calls plays.
Eberflus took it over. He did better as the Bears coach, but not successful. Tampa Bay, like they're not, none of these teams, like Tampa Bay, Bowles calls his own plays. Like these teams aren't good. I wouldn't model hiring a coach after Tampa Bay, Chicago, like Houston and the Bills. It's like Houston struck gold because CJ Stroud is that good, not because D'Amico Ryans probably is a great coach, but CJ Stroud is the reason that the Texans made the playoffs this year more than D'Amico Ryans, in my opinion at least. This is not a formula to that models success. Like Josh Allen's in Buffalo, like you have a generational quarterback behind that head coach. You might have one in Houston with CJ Stroud. You look at examples where you don't have a generational quarterback It's like Tampa Bay, they made the playoffs. I get that. They're not good. Like, this is not the model that is successful in the NFL right now. It's just not.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that the only hire that is worse than this is Tennessee going from Vrabel to whoever that dude was, at Brian Callahan. I mean, that was I was actually pretty funny. So,
Where was
we
he
could have
from
done
again?
worse, honestly.
Oh, the Eagles
Cincinnati.
OC?
No,
Oh,
he's not even,
Cincinnati.
yeah, he doesn't even call the plays. He calls like half the plays.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It's tough times to be a Falcons fan, Ben. Looks like there's gonna be a lot of losing going forward for us. Hopefully we're wrong. I would not love nothing more than to be on cold exposed takes and to be completely wrong, but I don't think we're gonna get a Super Bowl out of Raheem Morris. I got news for y'all guys. Yeah, so that's the way I'm feeling right now. It sucks. It's shitty right now to be a Falcons fan, Ben. The good news is we do have two more football games coming up this weekend. First, you want to recap how we did this last weekend? It was not a good weekend for me on picks. I will say this though. I know one of my losers was
Wasn't
the
good for me
over.
either.
Was the over in the 49ers Packers game. That not hitting was criminal. But anyway, continue, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, when we did the podcast, the Ravens and Texans total was 43.5. I took the under on that. Present day was 44. So technically, I pushed in real life, but 1-3 on the pod from both of us. So 2-6 overall. That brings our record as a podcast to 68, 59, and 3. Got to get it back this week.
Yeah, we got to get it back this week. We got to stay in the green, obviously, on the season. Ben, let's talk about these games, man. We got to start things off as we always do in rotation order. We're going to start things off here. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Currently, Kansas City's catching 3.5 points here in this game. I believe the total as it stands is at 44.5 right now. Yeah, 44.5 still is the total. I'll let you start out here, Ben. Where are you going with this game?
Last week, I mean, I knew exactly where you were picking because you see Chiefs with the points. And you and I were texting about it earlier. Now the Chiefs have a couple injuries. I believe one of their safeties got hurt. Willie Gay Jr., the linebacker, got hurt. Think someone else may have gotten hurt too. It's so hard to not take Chiefs with the point. Like, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. Chiefs plus 3.5 is going to be one of my picks. I have another one on this game. I'm going to go down with Patty Mahomes. If you're giving me over a field goal with him, like, I have to take it. If I'm wrong and I lose money on Patrick Mahomes, so be it. Like, but I'm going to be with the present day GOAT. So I'm going to take Chiefs plus 3.5. I'm also going to take the under 44.5 in this game. This one's a little bit more of a confidence play by me. These are the top two scoring defenses in the NFL. There's rain predicted in the forecast as well. But these two defenses, I mean, if you look at the Chiefs all year long, offense has not been their strength. They really have struggled in the second half of ball games this year. I believe their second half unders are, I don't remember the record. I think they've lost twice all season long. In the Ravens defense, I mean, it's insane at every single level. In the back end, you have Kyle Hamilton. The linebackers are unbelievable, whether you're talking about Roquan Smith or Patrick Queen. And their defensive line is great. I mean, they got a guy with double-digit sacks on the defensive line. They can get after the quarterback. I think the biggest thing in this game is gap pressure with in Lane. What do you call it? Lane gap
Staying.
integrity
Okay,
is kind of
yeah.
what I'm thinking of. If you're rushing the passer on the edge, if you go too far from Lamar Jackson, he steps up and runs. If you bull rush him kind of up the middle, then he goes left or he goes right. You have to make both of these quarterbacks think east and west instead of letting them go north and south. Because honestly, when Mahomes, like, one of the best prop bets in the playoffs or as the season really goes on, is Mahomes rushing yards. He uses those legs late in seasons. He doesn't take a ton of sacks. And both these quarterbacks, we know how much Lamar can run. And we know how much Josh Allen just beat. I think he had close to 100 yards rushing. I think he had like 83 rushing yards against the Chiefs. I think that's a focal point. You can't let Lamar Jackson get outside the pocket. I think their defensive line will understand that and have to play gap discipline. And I'm going to take under 44.5 and Chiefs plus 3.5.
Ben, you know me too well, man. I got to take Kansas City here plus the 3.5 points. And to be honest with you, I'm thinking about throwing them in a teaser as well. I haven't just played just yet, just because I could see there being fours here. So let's talk about injuries first before we talk about the play. The main injuries we need to know about here is for players who are limited or haven't practiced yet. Legarius Sneed was limited. He's going to go, though, for sure. Willie Gay Jr., limited so far. Don't know if he'll play or not. Joe Tooney, he ain't playing in this game. Isaiah Pacheco, he was a DNP today. Mike Edwards was a limited participant. Depends if he can pass concussion protocol or not. If I had to guess, he probably won't, so it'll be down him. Sky Moore doesn't really matter to me. So those are the main injuries right there, is Willie Gay, Pacheco, and Mike Edwards right now that matter them. And obviously Tooney, but he's out already for Kansas City, which is huge. Him being one of the better offensive linemen. Ravens, it looks like everybody's going to go. Their only DNP today was Rocky Sin, a corner. He was a limited participant yesterday and DNP today. So it makes me think he's probably going to play, or else he probably going to practice. Anyway, though, Ben, look, when I look at this matchup, I think that even though Mahomes has injuries, I think it's all factored in the line here. This line opened at 2.5 and went up to it. And look, I don't think Kansas City's necessarily a square play here. Kansas City's getting a little bit more of money on the spread right now and a little bit more of the tickets. But money line, everybody who likes the Ravens is pounding them on the money line. And I think there's something we need to bring up here, too. Everybody's talking about the conspiracy of how the 49ers are going to play the Ravens in the Super Bowl, this, that, and the other. Patrick Mahomes don't give a damn about your little conspiracy theories. Patrick Mahomes... Look, I really think we talked about it last week. We talked about it even the week before. This guy is the GOAT, in my opinion, besides him and Tom Brady. Those are the two best quarterbacks we'll ever see play this game of football. And stuff like this doesn't apply. I remember when Brady played against the Jaguars, and he had to wear a glove on his throwing hand because he had all those stitches in his hand. I can't remember what happened. And everybody was like, oh, he's not going to win. He went out there and carved up the best defense in the league for 300 yards. I mean, it's the same thing. Kansas City's offense looked anemic all season long, and now they look like the normal offense. They had 5 third downs last game against Buffalo. They should have had another touchdown if what's-his-face didn't fumble through the end zone. Mecole Hardman, which I called happening before it happened. The second he got the ball, I knew he was going to fumble. I just knew it. And then on top of those factors, it was Mecole who fumbled it.
Tony?
No, it was, I mean, trust me. Tony screwed up so many times, I can understand why you would think that. I mean, they're basically the same guy at this point. But I just think, man, this Patrick Mahomes guy, he's completely different than anybody we've ever seen play the game. And I think betting against him in this game is foolish. Lamar Jackson, the big thing about him is he crumbles in the biggest games. To me, the biggest stage Lamar Jackson has ever been on in his entire career. Even when he was at Louisville, he didn't play in a game anywhere close to this. This is a massive game. Let's talk about this game now from the other thing I want to mention here too, is this is the most complete team Mahomes has been on. They've really found it offensively. Rashee Rice is emerging. Travis Kelce just played his best game in like 7 weeks. I really think that teams are finally like seeing, okay, he has other weapons. We have to account for these guys. We can't just clamp down on Kelce because other guys have stepped up. I would like Pacheco to play in this game though. Yeah. I would like Pacheco though to play in this game. I think that's huge. I think he will give it a go though, for sure here. And look, Kansas City, they have the number two scoring defense in the NFL. This is the best defense they've ever had. This ain't going to be no walk in the park for Baltimore. It's going to be a tough, hard-fought game. They are bad against the run, but I expect them to be ready. And also, too, the fourth quarter has gone under in all but one Kansas City game they played this season. I think that speaks to Spagnuolo and the changes he makes throughout these games and how he adjusts. You notice in that Buffalo game, he said, y'all can run, but once we get the lead, y'all going to have to pass, and we'll be ready for it. Mahomes in his career, here come all the ATS stats I love. Look, I've used some of these stats so many times, I'm not even going to repeat them. Mahomes is an underdog in his career. He's 8-3 straight up, 9-1-1 against the spread. He's 5-0 when he's catching three or more points against the spread, which he is in this spot right here. In the last 20 years, Super Bowl QBs as an underdog who won their game before in the playoffs. And the next round, so that means they were probably either playing in the divisional or the conference championship game. They're 25-8 against the spread, and since 2018, they're 12-4 against the spread in this spot. There's no way I'm not taking the points here with Kansas City. I try to reason with myself to take Baltimore, but I simply see all these stats. There's no way I'm passing up on Patrick Mahomes catching points in this game. Give me Mahomes with the points. And also, too, guys, I can't remember. I think it was Mahomes when he catches more than – it was Mahomes when he catches a certain number. It was either 2 or 3 points is undefeated in 6-point teasers. So that's another thing to look at. I think it actually was as an underdog in general. That's what it was. As an underdog in general, he's 11-0 against the spread in a 6-point teaser. So he's never been blown out one of these games. So, I mean, if you want to take Kansas City with the 49ers in a teaser, I kind of love it.
The second game?
Yeah, let's go to the second. the second game here, Ben.
We have we got to talk this one out.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk this one out. I can't lie. This one was tough for me. I think I finally landed on what my play is going to be here. So we have the 49ers. Debo Samuel did practice today. They're hosting the Detroit Lions. The number on this game, 7. The total in this game is at 51.5. Should be pretty solid weather out in Carolina. Ben, what do you think about this game?
California.
Yeah, California. I don't know what I'm saying.
You got to. I got to hear what you think. You got to go first.
All right, I'll go first here. So, look, I teeter-totter back and forth. As y'all know, I'm a big-time underdog player. I love to bet the underdogs here. I don't know, man. I think this Lions team's in over their head. So, I got two plays. Let's talk about the first play here because I kind of talked about it last week. I'm going to take Brock Purdy. I almost never take player props in the NFL, but I'm taking Brock Purdy to go over 276.5 pass yards here. So, in the last five games, actually, for this Lions defense, Nick Mullins threw for 400 yards on them twice. Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and Baker Mayfield all threw for over 350 yards against them. This defense is Swiss cheese. And now you're facing a 49ers offense who's probably going to have all their weapons in here. They have the two best yak receivers in the league in George Kittle. He's the best yak tight end. Debo Samuel, the best yak wide receiver, and the best yak running back here, which is yards after the catch, for those of you I don't know, and Christian McCaffrey. This offense just feels unstoppable. And honestly, I think they were a little rusty last week, Ben. You know, like, they didn't play in week 18, so they basically have the 2 weeks off, and they came out a little rusty, but they heated up at the right time. The 49ers with Debo Samuel in the lineup are 12-1 straight up this season, and they're 10-3 against the spread with Debo in the lineup. Without him, they're 0-5 ATS and 4-1 straight up. I mean, the Lions, in my opinion, got super lucky the last 2 weeks. Baker Mayfield drove down the field, and they literally just didn't pick up free rushers like Aiden Hutchinson and cornerback blitzes. Like, they could not pick up that blitz whatsoever, and Baker Mayfield got lit up because of it. I thought they were fortunate to beat Tampa Bay last week. We talked about how they were fortunate with getting 3 red zone field goals against the Rams to beat them. I think their luck runs out here. I actually think the 49ers kind of roll them in this game. Teams like the 49ers, who have been favored in every single game they played this season, they've been favored in all 18 games they played this season. Ben, it's only happened 9 times in the Super Bowl era and the point spread era. The 7 of these 9 teams have gone to the Super Bowl, and Kyle Shanahan, when he has extended rest and his opponent doesn't, he's 12-6 against the number. I mean, I don't necessarily love the play in this game, but I'm going to have to take the 49ers -7. So give me Brock Purdy pass yards over and 49ers -7 in this game.
Oh, there's so much to just digest with this game. Goff, we've talked about it a bunch. The indoor-outdoor play,
yep.
His stats, even though like it's not bad weather, but like he just plays so much better indoors. Obviously, this is an outdoor game. I'm going to take a prop as well. Okay. I'm going to take Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to take his over in receiving. It looks like it is 81.5. I'm going to take over 81.5 receiving yards from him. With Debo being, he's going to play Debo, but with him having a shoulder injury, kind of limits things for him. When Ayuk goes over the middle, it presents a lot of challenges for the defense because if you're not tackling him right away, that guy catching the ball in the middle of the field with his speed is a nightmare for defenses. Did not play that well last week. Obviously, Purdy didn't have his best game either. I think it's a nice bounce back spot for Purdy. And I think with Debo being a little banged up, I think Ayuk has opportunities to step up a little more. So I'm going to take Ayuk over 81.5 receiving yards. I just don't have a play on the actual game to give out right now. I'm still looking into it. It's only Thursday right now.
Yep.
So for now, I'm just going to stick with Ayuk over 81.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, there's some pretty crazy numbers. Goff and Campbell versus teams scoring over 21 points per game. They're 17-4 against the spread. I've talked about Jared
Campbell's
Goff
a great against the spread coach.
Yeah, I've talked about Jared Goff against teams with a winning record above 500 against the spread like a million times. He's 15-5 against the spread, and when he's at home in those games, he's 8-3 straight up and ATS, so he's not as good on the road.
You said at home, though?
Yeah, but so in general, he's 15-5 ATS and he's 8-3 ATS straight up and on the road. So that'd be what, 7-2 ATS when he plays on the road, which is pretty and still pretty damn good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's incredible. Definitely a lot of reasons that you wouldn't want it. I just feel like, you know, the Lions made this run all season long. And the fact the 49ers are favored in every single one of those games, and like, I think it's no fluke. I really think last week they were rusty. They shook the rust off. You know, they got their scare. I think they come correct here. This almost reminds me of when the year they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Ben, and they played the Packers in conference championship weekend. They were doing the same thing. They were laying like a 7 spot against the Packers. You know, the Packers had trended up. They're the hot team, kind of like the Lions were. They won the division. Basically the same thing as the Lions at this point. And they dog walked him in that game. That was when Raheem Mostert went crazy in that game. I think he had like 200 something yards rushing and had like 4 touchdowns. I think they beat him by like 5 or 6 touchdowns in that game. So I kind of see the same thing here.
Yeah, the Niners obviously just own the Packers too.
Yeah, the Niners definitely do own the Packers too. But yeah, Ben, that's all I got for today, for the this week's games. Anything else you think we need to talk about, storylines and whatnot?
No, I don't think so. I'll recap real quick. I am on Chiefs plus 3.5, Chiefs and Ravens under 44.5, Brandon Ayuk over 81.5 receiving yards. Thomas is on Chiefs plus 3.5, Brock Purdy over 276.5 passing yards, and also 49ers minus 7.
Yeah, one last thing I wanted to add. I actually forgot to say this. I actually really like your Ayuk prop. I was like reading something. I believe it. They've allowed like number one receivers. I think they've allowed like 7 straight number one receivers to go for 100 plus yards. The Lions defense getting absolutely torched. So I think Ayuk's going to have a huge game. And would to be honest, say that again.
Number one receiver would probably be Debo though.
Yeah, but Debo runs different kind of routes. I can't remember how they broke it down, but it basically
Debo's everything for them.
Yeah, exactly. It kind
of
I just don't know
like with a shoulder injury, it's like I don't know. I think you're not running certain routes. Like I'm curious how often Debo goes over the middle. How much range does he have in his shoulder motion? Like can he reach out for a ball? Does he get any carries in this game to avoid, you know, to try to avoid any unnecessary hits? So listen, if he's on the field, you have to play him. Whatever he can do, you ask him and you do it. You don't limit his – I mean, you can't play scared with Debo Samuel. I think if the game plan calls for him getting a jet sweep or him getting a carry, I think you give it to him. I mean, I know that it's late in the season and we're only a game away from possibly playing in the Super Bowl, but there's no holding back at this point. It's foot on the gas and it's green light, so – I think Ayuk's going to have his chances this week. I think it's a nice bounce-back spot for Purdy, who obviously did not play well last week, and he gets to play in a little bit better of weather.
Yeah, exactly. Better weather, better Purdy. That's all we got for you guys. As always, we appreciate everyone who tuned in. We'll have another podcast for you guys, obviously, reacting to these games and then our Super Bowl preview. But for those of you all been on the long ride with us for this season, let's get this cash. Let's get this money. Let's cash these plays. We appreciate everyone who tuned in, and we'll talk to you all.